Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. Happy New Year, Dave. This is the first time I've got a chance to wish you a Happy New Year.
Indeed. Happy New Year to you, Melody, as well as to our listeners. Good to be back.
Yes, it's great to have you back, and I made the announcement yesterday that we're trying some things out with the radio. You'll be doing Tuesdays and Thursdays program, and I really don't know what I'm going to do on Wednesday. When I don't hear, it's hump day.
Oh, man. Well, I can always call in.
Okay. if you call in, you're going to be stuck for the program, so you can't do that.
Hey, that worst things could happen.
Anyway, we had a pretty good day in gold today. It's back up $6, almost $7 on the New York spot price after market, approaching that $1,950 level. Silver was up 33 cents today at $27.63. Platinum was up big, almost 4%, $41 at $1,115. Palladium, though, was able to manage a little bit higher percentage-wise, up $96 at $2,515. The USDX today was down another 40.40 at 89.49. Crude oil, though, was up 2.32. at 49.94, touching on almost that $50 level. And I guess they're looking to I don't know if we're going to be talking about it a little bit later in the program, but I guess OPEC, they've agreed to cut back on production and so forth. So, yeah, they can rig the numbers and so forth to get some higher prices. But and, of course, I guess a little more perhaps uncertainty going on with Iran and so forth that could have put a little bit higher price on oil, but we'll see where that heads out. The paper markets today, getting used to my new computer here, is the Dow was up 191 points, 30,415. The NASDAQ was up 120, 12,818. The S&P was up 26 at 3,726. And again, the Dow, I just saw some changes. 167 to the upside, 30,391. 10-year yield, 0.96. When do you think it's going to go over 1%, Dave?
Guess is as good as that. Your guess is as good as mine.
I'll put in a direct line to Mr. Jerome Powell, see what he's going to do. And, of course, Japan and Hong Kong and all of those were basically a little unchanged. I guess it was OPEC and Russia had agreed to see. Are we going to talk about that later today in
we
the
are.
Program?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Then I will hold that and let the listeners just kind of wait to see what we're going to say. But there's a lot of things going on, but Dave, I think all eyes are pretty much on what's happening today and Wednesday with the election in Georgia today. You know, I talked about the 1% in the 10-year, but the real yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to its lowest level on record yesterday. We did mention it briefly yesterday, declining to negative 1.11%. Now, what that means is after accounting for expected inflation, holding a 10-year U.S. Treasury bond to maturity will mean losing more than 1%. And again, this is just the latest sign on the war on savers. The Fed policy is rewarding risk-taking, punishing saving at a record level, even as inflation expectations, you know, just continue to rise. The negative real yield on government debt encourages investors to move money into more risky assets like stocks just to in order to earn a more desired return. Real yields have consistently declined despite inflation expectations rising. You know, and that's an unusual phenomenon. On Monday, the expected break-even inflation rate on 5-year, the 10-year, and the 30-year treasuries, that all rose above 2%. We all know this is the love relationship that the Fed's had for this inflation target of 2%. And, of course, this is their highest level in more than 2 years. However, despite this unprecedented environment that we're in right now, uncertainty and fear really have kept Americans piling into bonds, savings accounts, and, of course, you know, the number one thing should be gold and silver, because they're going to outdo your, you know, any of these bonds. As we talked about, savings accounts are at risk. U.S. companies and municipalities, they've issued a record amount of debt last year at record low rates. You have investors. They bought, what, $183 billion worth of bond funds just between January and November, Dave.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, they also held $4.3 trillion in money market funds. That's largely cash and other governmental instruments. I mean, during the same period, investors also sold $569 billion worth of equity funds. As for gold ETF flows, Melody, total assets under management in the U.S. as of mid-December were $227 billion. That equates to almost 3,800 tons. That's a lot of gold and silver coins. For all of 2020, total net global inflows were 875 tons, worth about $58 billion in gold. Now, Americans' personal savings rates declined from a record roughly 34% in April, but in November was still at the highest rate since 1981. And that's despite the average interest rate in a retail savings account being just 0.05%. That ain't too much, ladies and gentlemen. U.S. government debt pays significantly more than comparable European bonds on a nominal basis anyway, thanks to the European Central Bank taking interest rates to negative 0.5%. But when inflation is factored in, U.S. Treasuries now pay, actually cost, effectively the same as their European counterparts. Kathy Jones, who is fixed income chief strategist at Schwab, says it's a natural outgrowth of Fed policy. They don't want to lower nominal rates at the short end below 0%, so what's happened is real yields have gone into negative territory. It's a way for the Fed to achieve negative policy without actually levying negative yields. Now, the break-even rates, as Melody mentioned, and real yield sank to new lows despite a down day for U.S. equity prices, not today, and minimal movement from the dollar, again yesterday, two assets that have largely moved in line with these break-even inflation expectations. We live in interesting times, Melody.
You know, most people out there don't understand, because it is complicated to follow and understand how you're losing money, you know. And mainly because it's in the retirement accounts that they have money managers, financial planners handling it. And how does someone, or can someone really, how does it really affect them? And is this a temporary, or is this just going to continue to, I mean, I know my thoughts, but is this just going to continue to worsen?
To what are we talking? What do you? What do you mean?
I'm talking about on these treasuries, on these bonds.
Oh, I'm surprised it hasn't gone to the deep south. I've been expecting it for 2 years. I mean, we talked a lot a couple years ago, even earlier last year, perhaps later in the summer too. You know, how Reagan's former budget guru, David Stockman, was calling for a bond market crash, which would be, in his mind, the what would precipitate the crash in equities. Now, maybe that's still to come. Boy, things are ever so tenuous and volatile. And I think it's that bit of uncertainty which in the near run is going to continue to drive gold and silver upward.
This whole financial system truly is on the brink.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no turning back. I mean, this is just huge. I mean, the numbers are just too huge to fix. And it truly is staggering to their ability to. And again, I know distractions and how they can play and the monies and they can move and so forth. I had an article here. This probably had a lot to do also back in December. We never really got to it. But where Japan was selling gold to fill their budget hole. They sold 80 tons.
Mm-hmm.
To arm the government to fund part of its huge stimulus package. And because they're saddled with public debt twice the size of its economy and tax revenues that they've been hit by the pandemic-induced recession. Finance minister is under pressure to find non-tax revenues to cover the rising cost of spending to deal with the health crisis. So, you know, Abe, we know he was, you know, he opened the floodgates to, you know, creating, and there wasn't a limit to what he would do to keep the economy going. And now the new minister's in here that took Abe's place. He's selling gold. So I'm not sure how the Japanese people feel about that. I mean, it's not any different when England was selling gold back in the mid-90s. People weren't happy, but the government did it anyway. And but it's a sign of just how strapped they are. Because you'd be insane to sell your gold at this time. Any government would be insane if they had it to sell it. You know, we're talking about, you know, governments and taxes. You know, people who've collected unemployment will receive smaller or, you know, no tax refunds this coming year because of a tax law quirk that counts unemployment as taxable income. Tens of millions of Americans who arguably need the refund the most will wind up financially short for yet another year. Their household finances will remain precarious at a time of dismal job prospects. And they're going to find themselves that they're probably not aware of this new IRS quirk. We know, you know, how many millions of Americans filed for unemployment benefits for the very first time this year. And, of course, you know, nobody asked the IRS, the state authorities to withhold money from the payments the way they would with their employer. I'm sure none of them filed any quarterly tax estimates or payments. So now we're in 2021. And now they're going to have to declare their benefits as income on their 2020 taxes. And, you know, we talk about wiping out refunds, but how many people are going to owe? You know, unlike unemployment benefits, the one-time $1,200 stimulus checks that were sent out this spring, that is not taxable income. They are considered tax credits. So even if the IRS and state stack tax authorities are lenient with the rules because of the pandemic, the fact remains that huge numbers of Americans of all income levels are going to miss out on the tax refund that they would typically get, Dave. So, and I don't know if it's going to break even with the stimulus that they get. But, you know, we look at the tax season, and it can be usually it could be the largest infusion of cash that, you know, the low-income families get in a year. So we already know that half of America can't cover a routine financial emergency. We talk about that all the time, Dave. Are you there, Dave? Did I leave? Are you doing doing this to me already? The first of the year.
You know, it's like, hey, got to make sure she knows I'm back. Now, I turned my mic off, ladies and gentlemen, the cough, and I forgot to turn it back on. My apologies. But let's make something clear for the listeners that this isn't the first time that federal unemployment benefits or state unemployment benefits are taxable for income tax purposes. They've been like that for some time. It's just that there's so many new recipients of unemployment this year who don't or haven't known about its taxability and so didn't request to have any federal taxes taken out.
Can you do that when you're filing for unemployment? I mean, that should be they should automatically do it.
Well, it should, but I think the thinking is because it's unemployment, first of all, I think they probably ought to reconsider the taxation of that, but particularly in a year like last. But be that as it may, I just think a lot of people are so tight or so concerned when they're going on to unemployment, they figure they need as much cash infusion as they can get. That they can get, so they figured, well, all right, so I don't take taxes off now, it'll just mean a lesser refund if in fact I remember that 6 months from now. But think about this. I mean, the federal pandemic unemployment supplement, $600 a week, I think the average refund last year, 2019, was a little over $5,000. Now you figure, that's if you're on $600 for boy, what could have it been? 30 weeks, something like that. Plus, your state benefit. That's going to add up. And so you raised a good point, I believe, that not only could they get lesser of a refund, they might there might be a good chunk of people who are going to get tax bills at income tax time in April. We'll see, and we'll certainly pay close attention to that because what's already been happening amidst all this is that, over 2 million Americans have already taken a more desperate step of withdrawing funds from their company's 401k plans just to cover basic living expenses. Tough times out there, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your eyes open.
Well, heading into the break, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, the 2021 Silver Eagles will be coming out. They're actually being shipped from the mint as I speak. And we should be able to get out the 2021s maybe next week. So they're actually coming out a little bit sooner than normal. So if you purchased, if you're one of those that are waiting for the 2021s, they should be coming out pretty. Now, because we're getting them to ship next week, doesn't mean you'll have them. You still have to wait yours, to wait your week. But and again, ladies and gentlemen, mail is moving slow. If you haven't received your package, call me. I don't want you to wait a month and then, you know, call me and then we, you know, we have to try and track it down. And so if it's so much easier, if we can track it and make sure nothing happened to it. And nothing has happened to anything. Packages are getting to the destinations. Checks are coming in. I'm encouraging people to do priority mail, only because it's been taking a little bit longer than usual. And I'm thinking, after, since we're past the holiday, that we'll certainly see things speed up. So we do appreciate your patience. And again, it's not our delays in shipping. It's just it's taken the USPS a little bit longer than usual.
Hey, we have 8 Christmas presents we're still waiting for. But that's another story.
Oh, I know. It's just it is kind of interesting. But so again, the Silver Eagles, we have 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles at a really good buy for you today. Limited supply at the low price that we have. So just give us a call. And we got many things, but those are just a couple of the specials that we have for you. I think we're ready to wrap up the taxes. And, you know, we were talking through the break that, yeah, folks, you know, tax people can't pay taxes. They're not getting, so neither are the governments, neither are the states, your local governments. Tax revenue is going to be down significantly at a time when they're spending like there is no tomorrow. And just listening out of my ear to some of these news talk programs this morning, you know, already they're talking about, you know, the next administration. The thing that they have to do is infrastructure spending. I mean, you're talking trillions of dollars for infrastructure. Oh, well, we'll get it private. We'll get private people to get. No. It's still trillions of dollars. I don't care how many people go in there and create. And that was Donald Trump's. It was actually a pretty good idea, but he couldn't get it done. There's no money. So, you know, there is a day when the debt is due. That day comes. And, you know, the world's biggest economies are shouldering record debt burdens. And, and they're about to confront an unwelcome legacy of the financial crisis, a $13 trillion debt bill. A group of 7 nations, plus, you know, other key emerging markets, face the heaviest bond maturities in at least a decade, much of them borrowing to dig their economies out of the worst slump since the Great Depression. Now, this is according to a new analysis that governments may need to roll over 51% more debt than in 2020. If there's any good news, it's that both central banks and investors are on their side. I don't know if that's good news. I guess it depends if you're that investor or the policymakers facing lingering economic challenges from the pandemic, like the Fed. They're going to stay accommodative. I don't care who's in there. I don't care who's in the Treasury. You know, David Stockman, you mentioned him earlier. He was the former Reagan budget guru. You know, bonds remained a sought-after haven amid this virus, rising toll on health and economies. Government debt ratios exploded. Gregory Purdon, he's the co-chief investment officer at some investment firm.
Yeah, we'll say A. Latham.
Bruthnot, Latham. But he says he believes that the short-term worrying over rising debt is fruitless. I don't think it's fruitless at all. But that's what he's going to say. And he doesn't think it's abused. Well, it is abused. But it has been a successful tool for them. So,
it has.
I don't know, Dave. They're nuts.
Yeah, you know, it's the Einstein theory kicking in all over again, saying and doing, you know, the same thing over and over and hoping they'll be different. I mean, it just begs, say what? I mean, it's crazy. You're right. I mean, we know these refinancing needs are the biggest here in the U.S., $7.7 trillion of debt coming due. Followed by Japan with just shy of $3 trillion. Sounds like they're already trying to get ahead of it by selling some of their gold. China's tabs rising to $577 billion from $345 last year. And over in the Eurozone, Italy has the heaviest bill, $433 billion, followed by France's $348. Germany's $325 is up versus $201 last year. Not all these maturities will necessarily be extended by fresh borrowings. To be sure, though, I mean, this growth liftoff, as they call it, is still expected to eventually translate into higher yields, with the median of surveyed economists calling for 10-year treasuries of 1.24 by this coming fourth quarter. That's up from roughly 0.95 currently. Forget what it closed. Melody said it closed at today. Now, interestingly, counting inflation again, that would still keep the real yield of the 10-year negative, although not quite as negative as the minus 1.11 rate we discussed earlier. Yet the onus remains on world policymakers to keep rates low to foster the global economic recovery, which is another way of saying parenthetically all those stock markets and investors. The Fed's on pace right now to buy nearly half the $2 trillion of net debt supply that the U.S. government's expected to issue this year. In Europe, the result of central bank bond buying there will help create a supply shortfall of equivalent to $164 billion. Steve Major, who heads up global fixed income research at Too Big to Fail HSBC, says the practical reality is that debt levels and rates are linked because most of the developed world just can't afford higher interest rates. Ba, 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 boom, Melody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it isn't, and you know, that's just what they're just gonna give it away. The wealthy get wealthier, poor get poorer. I mean, we've known that, but now we live in a time where, you know, it shouldn't be, and they risked our nation, our country, for their wealth. And I was reading an article earlier today, Dave, I'll see if I can't pull it up maybe for Thursday's program. And he talks about when they were talking about when Citibank was being created and so forth, and those that were behind it and everything. And the way these banks are now created and so forth, with the with the love of the central banks keeping them going. And it's like, you know, their comment was, we're going to get extremely wealthy. And it continues. And taxpayers continue to pay for the bailouts. And it doesn't stop, doesn't change. There's no politicians in D.C. to make it change. You've got so many lobbyists in there that nothing's going to change. You have to get rid of the lobbyists, get rid of the, get term limits. So, you know, things can be done. But there's no one in Washington that has the will or the cojones to do it. So we get to watch. We get to experience. You know, the nation basically financially collapse. And it truly is a sad day, and then everything with it follows. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, I think our newsletter went out earlier today, Dave, and we did change it, and I hope the readers enjoy. We've gotten some comments in already, and the one thing that you'll find that hasn't changed is our commitment and commenting and opinionating with truth and honesty when it comes to domestic issues and the world events of the day. That doesn't change. And we bring the truth whether sometimes I don't even like the truth. Sometimes I even hate reporting the truth because sometimes it goes against with what I think and believe. So we're always interested on what you think, and if you like our looks, and if you'd like a particular topic that you would like addressed for this year, email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And yeah, I'm excited about it. So, Dave, what was your article about for the newsletter this time?
Well, Melody, we start the new year as we ended it, talking about income inequality and how that's exacerbating the growing gap between the rich and everybody else. Take education, which is really the topic of this week's newsletter article, more than ever before. Private K-12 schools are attracting mostly wealthier families who are frustrated with public schools flip-flopping on remote and in-person learning. The trend is already weakening public schools, which will lose federal, state, and local funding as they lose more students, thus deepening the divide between how rich and poor kids are educated. Now, although virtually all students faced a number of challenges before COVID, not all of them face them equally. And solutions more widely available to wealthy families in general, from private school options to pricey learning pods, have highlighted the ways the pandemic is making these inequities worse.
Well, I just got an email in, and I just wanted to relay to Todd that the email came in from Florida saying that the radio show was taken off the air. So so check to see if you could, Todd. I appreciate it. This goes out everywhere, and sometimes it can just be one station and not another, so we'll continue. And so that's why I was a little sidetracked there, Dave. Sorry about that. So.
No worries. That's important stuff.
Yeah.
We want people to hear this.
Well, you know, we see that many students are struggling through last spring to access the most basic remote learning opportunities, often without home internet service and computers. Yet the offspring of the well-off often had the benefits of private tutors. They have all-day virtual instruction provided, a lot by their schools.
Yeah, and there's this guy, Richard Kallenberg, who's director of K-12 equity at the Century Foundation, says schools are highly unequal, but the ability of families to provide education is even more unusual. That's a fact acknowledged even by parents who can afford private tutoring or private school for their children, and at the same time struggle with the question of how to help their own kids without exacerbating education inequity. Myason Biden, who is managing partner at the Institute for Higher Learning, expected this school year to reveal an educational divide, quote, like we've never seen before. And yet Biden hired a private tutor for her own son, who attends a private school. She lamented, "I felt like I couldn't afford to just fail him personally." And you get that.
Well, you know, you pointed out that the public school systems have had to follow these guidelines and largely stick with virtual education. And the private schools, you know, they have mostly gone with in-person alternatives. And, you know, it's really sad because, you know, parents are fed up with it, with this virtual learning. And students, they're not getting it either.
Yeah.
I mean, they are beginning to have impacts. I hear from teachers saying the behavior of the little ones. I don't know about the college, I mean, not the college, but the, you know, the high schoolers. But these little kids, their behaviors are changing. And it's not for the good. And I, for one, Dave, wouldn't think that for such a short period of time that it would have that type of an impact on these children. But it is.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a real interesting concern. Interesting probably isn't the right word. But I mean, we've known for some time that the evidence had shown that younger kids, particularly K to five, K to six kids, were much less susceptible to the coronavirus, and we know that that group of kids in general were most susceptible to the consequences of taking kids out of the classroom. So that's that could be a huge problem if, depending on how long this is going to continue in the new year. Check out the entire article in your email inboxes today.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. OPEC, I said we talked about it earlier in the program. Well, Dave did. And, of course, they're headed
back into... Thanks for covering me.
Yeah. Back into the talks today and trying to seek a resolution. I guess they had a breakdown yesterday. Russia isolated in its push for a production hike against a majority that want to maintain current output cuts. Ministers needed more time to resolve their difference over how much extra oil the market can take as we continue to see all these lockdowns across the world. The split between Saudi Arabia and Russia, the two de facto leaders of OPEC and reflecting contrasting priorities, Riyadh has shown it's worried about undermining the oil market recovery. Moscow says it doesn't want to create space for a rebound in rival production. So, who would be that rival production? There are strategic differences resonate. Venezuela, Iran, would it be them? Well, they're in OPEC. Venezuela's in OPEC. Their strategic differences resonate far beyond the 500,000 barrel a day supply boost that the market had been expecting for February. And of course, it also calls into question similar increases traders had penciled in for March and April. So oil was up today, so I guess they got what they were trying to accomplish. So would you like to add anything to that piece, Dave?
No, I don't think so. I mean, just that OPEC Plus is currently idling over 7 million barrels a day. That's 7% of world supplies, and had planned to return a further 1.5 million barrels a day in installments over the next 3 or 4 months.
Wow. I know you wanted to talk about Bitcoin, and I really don't like Bitcoin.
Then keep on keeping on. Oh, I know. It's so bizarre. I mean, it's so knowing enough about just how speculative, how about intangible it is, makes it really difficult to take it seriously. And yet you just read stories and hear about hundreds of new investors, largely to the market, many of them newer to investing, are making tons of money just because of nothing more than good timing. But yet, you know, just as soon as they made their first million or two, or even just a couple of hundred thousand, it could turn around and crash just like it did a couple of years ago. But yet, you know, you hear a too big to fail bank saying it could write, what is it now, 34,000, something like that? That it could go to 146,000 by the end of this year or next? What?
Yeah, well, I want to know. They must be living in Colorado. No offense to my Colorado listeners and clients.
You're talking to a access to a certain legalized...
high elevation.
Oh, okay, there you go.
High elevation. You can interpret that any way you'd like. And so, but yeah, I mean, you know, it really is a fantasy because it really isn't anything. And it's almost the same thing as the fiat dollar. It's a belief in something. You know, you can talk about the blockchain and you can talk about that, you know, the technology is, you know, beyond the next. And I got called out one time on a program where I just said the cryptocurrencies, and I say this on this program all the time, why would you want to invest in something that promotes the dark web?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
I mean, you're supporting and you're giving wealth to where, you know, people talk about child pornography. You talk about, you know, why do you think they call it the dark web? You don't go there. That's not your daily trip. You go to Facebook. You don't go to the dark web.
Very little good goes on there.
Very little. And so why would you support that? Why would you give money so they can do more? It's money laundering for crooks, for crimes, for governments. And I guess you could put all your values aside and say, hey, I bought it at $6,000 and it's $30,000. So what'd you do, Melanie? Bought gold at $1,000 and now it's not. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. I don't need to have, you know, investments that run to the moon. Gold's going to run to the moon. Maybe not like Bitcoin, but at least gold is real. Gold is a measure of wealth. Has been for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And what's cryptocurrencies? What's Bitcoin? Hey, it's a great ride. It is exciting, even though I don't want... It is pretty exciting to see something like that go. But just get an understanding of it.
If someone can call into this show and give us and listeners a clear, concise explanation of how blockchain works, I will stand corrected. But just because, you know, Melody can give me some, quote, coins, and I don't have them anymore, and I didn't need to use a third party to intermediate our transaction, great. All right, so you can pass it around, and only one person at a time can hold it, and there's no centralized third party that can decline a transaction or kick you off the network or anything like that, but it still doesn't answer why a Bitcoin is worth something, much less $34,000, much less $146,000, and worth not nothing at all. And it doesn't have any industrial or ornamental use. Guess what does, though? Gold, silver. You know, I found this interesting. This famous book, Money and the Early Greek Mine, this scholar Richard Seaford wrote that a key reason that gold and silver were deemed to have value the early days and eventually became money was that, similar to deities, gold and silver are immortal. They're immortal. Now, Seaford says gold is especially associated with the gods, who may themselves be called golden and possess a large range of golden things that in the human world are not made of gold. And I speak of the Greek gods, not of God or whom we worship, but he says the associations of gold and silver derive not only from their luster, but from not suffering corrosion. It's interesting. In other words, unlike other metals, they seem immortal. Thus, gold and silver eventually became money because of this perceived mystical link that made it distinct from other worldly commodities. Now, that may help explain the mystery of Bitcoin now, because it also has a sort of mystical spark. But monetary value? Give me a break. Whether it's worth over $30,000 for one 21 millionth of the network defies reality. You have $50,000 to $100,000 to invest, ladies and gentlemen, give us a call. We can suggest a prudent place where you can place it for the long term, provide security and safety for you and your family. Melody, what's that number again?
800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I just love it. My longtime clients and customers and friends call me up and say, I got that phone number just ingrained in my head. It does have a catchy number. Yeah, 1-800-375-4188. I just wanted to see if there's anything going on, any breaking news right now, and it doesn't seem to be. I guess nothing is coming out of Georgia as yet, so we'll just have to watch the news this evening to see what's happening there. Some key U.S. trading partners, they're bracing for parting shots to cap 4 years with this administration. We'll have to see what happens. You know, I was listening to somebody, I don't know who he was, but he really was interesting. And they do have in place for the next administration to do just a whole, and I'm not a fan of executive orders. I don't believe executive orders should run this country. And I'm not a fan of them. I don't believe in them. And they were talking about the first day of January 20th, there's going to be a whole boatload of executive orders being written. But the topic was China. And it was interesting because the thought was a lot of with China couldn't be undone that President Trump had initiated. And that because it is so complex with the tariffs and so forth, that you probably wouldn't see a lot of changes with what has been placed with China in the trade agreements and so forth. So we probably shouldn't see a lot of change there. And this was coming off of Bloomberg. So I found it really interesting. So we'll have to see how that impacts the rest of like Europe and so forth. I don't know how it's going to impact with the Brexit being completed, yeah. Dave. So I'm not sure. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I honestly don't have much to add to that.
Okay. Another article that I saw earlier today is the car industry. For 2020, it's like it's going to be the worst in a decade.
Yeah.
Is what they're estimating. But because of the pandemic and buying, consumers went online to buy cars. They have the ability to complete the entire transaction digitally. And take delivery without ever setting foot in a showroom. So while most other commercial transactions, even banking, went digital years ago, car buying remained, a stubbornly low-tech, often aggravating process. But when the public health crisis paralyzed the industry, car dealers had little choice but to embrace the disruptive changes that they've been resisting for decades. So they went and they scrambled to install new software so that, customers can browse for inventory, apply for credit. They can choose a payment schedule. They're even offered virtual test drives to demonstrate in-car technology and actually arrange touchless vehicle pickup and delivery.
I wonder if that comes with white gloves, too.
And a mask.
Indeed.
Michelle Krebs of Cox Automotive says consumers really like it. But you know what? I've been buying my automobiles. I do all my research and stuff online before I call the car dealer. I haven't been in a dealership for years. I've been working with one, and so I just call them. I trust them, and they've never failed me. And so, but I do my research. I call them. We put it together. And again, I haven't been in a car dealership since probably 2004.
Wow.
So, yeah. They just treat women. And yes, I'm going to go down that road. It's difficult.
It's good to be you.
And it's difficult. So you do get a different treatment because they don't think you're the decision maker, first of all.
Oh.
And so it's just a lot of, so yeah, so I like this.
My wife swore she'd never buy another car in person 3 years ago when we went in to replace her 20-year-old vehicle. The whole time we were there, there were two car salespeople, both men, kept looking at me.
Yeah.
And I kept pointing back to her. She's buying this, guys.
That's it right there. And our program, that's it right there. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Dave. Happy New Year.
And back to you
soon. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.